You were born up near Bendigo?
Yes, in Fosterville, outside Bendigo.
How far out?
18 miles, I think.
Quite a different climate to come to, yes. To Berwick. Because Berwick is colder and yes. wetter.
My father had never taught south of the Dividing Range, always up in the north country, up near, first near Swan Hill, then out from Bendigo, then out from Albury, and then coming to Berwick. It was so cool and so different.
Had he been a teacher all his life?
Yes, he commenced when he was 16 or 17.
And how old was he when he came to Berwick?
About 41 or 2.
And at what age was he appointed a principal?
Oh, he'd been a sort of headmaster of all those little schools for years. But Berwick was the biggest one he'd been to. And Berwick Township was the most civilised we'd ever been to, because there was, first thing we heard, there was a post boy that delivered the mail.
On a bike or on a horse?
On a bike. With a whistle. And that was marvellous. And the next thing we saw was a little library in the main street. We never had a library. And the next thing we heard was there was an undertaker. An undertaker.
And where was the undertaker?
He had a house with a shed in the back where he made his coffins in the main street up from Paternosters on the highway there. He lived there.
What, beyond what is now Wheeler Street? Up beyond where Miss Scott used to live?
That was
where Mrs. Edibald used to be?
Between Miss Scott afterwards bought the house of Mr. Grant from the undertaker.
Is that the undertaker?
Yes. And the hearse was kept down on the other side of the highway in with Fritz Laff's had
a
blacksmith's and wheelwright's.
Wheelwright.
Shop. Yeah. And that was kept there.
And of course the Berwick Cemetery was used for all the burials in those days.
Yes. Mm.
There was no crematorium.
No crematorium
at Springvale or anything like
and
that.
And the first, we saw, the funerals used to go past the schoolhouse.
Up to the cemetery.
Yes, and they used to go very slowly up.
A horse drawn,
and of course when it was over, the horse had come rattling down with home and out down the hill.
Horse dying to get home.
Yes.
Did you have a pony?
Not then, but later on we had two different ponies. Very quiet ones they were, especially the first one.
And you could drive it?
Yes, and later on when I left the state school, I went through the state school first, right through, and then I went to the girls' school, and as I got older, I was allowed to drive myself there with this very quiet pony, and I could harness it and harness it myself, because she was so quiet, she would put her head down and open her mouth for the bride.
Oh, wasn't she a nice pony?
Yes.
Not like your Sally. I'll get back to the girls' school in a moment. Tell me more about the primary school. Did your father have another teacher there?
Yes, when we came there was my father and the first assistant who taught the infants was called the first assistant.
What age did the children start at school?
They could commence at 4 and a half. Which my father liked them to commence at 4 and a half, because there are 8 grades in the school, and then they could go right through and out the other end of the school and get all the education, and if anything happened they were ill or anything and they had to redo a year, and that they were still able
had plenty of time.
Yes, and he liked them to come at that age, but you had to be there 6. After that year, I think you had to pay a fine, unless you were ill or something.
So he had a teacher for the infants?
Assistant and a junior teacher, and my father, there were the 3 of them. Well, gradually Berwick got, and the district got bigger, and when he left, there were 3 assistants, 3 juniors and the assistant.
What year did he leave?
1939. In the October then, when he turned 65. You had to retire at 65 then.
And the children went right through school until what age? What was 8th grade? What age were they
14,
then?
14 then.
And then if they wanted to further their education, what happened to them then?
Well,
there were no high schools in the area?
No. They usually went to Melbourne and perhaps became weekly boarders, or sometimes children left from the 8th grade and went to Caulfield Tech once a week on the train free. I mean, they had a pass from the education department and they learned things there. And also Kelly and Lewis had a big...
Who are Kelly and Lewis? An engineering
at Apley or somewhere, a big engineering thing. And children, boys that wanted to learn how to do engineering, motor cars and whatnot, they went there about for half a day a week on this free pass, or they went to Caulfield Tech and learnt accountancy.
Was there a high school at Dandenong then?
No, it didn't. I think it opened in 1920.
So then the children could go, they could stay at the primary school until they were 14 and then go off. If they wanted to do a university education, how did they get there?
Well, they'd have had to go to
a school in Melbourne.
Yes, perhaps be a weekly boarder.
Yeah.
I don't think I know anybody that was clever enough to go to the university in that state, in Berwick.
No one from the girls' school either?
Oh, the girls' school didn't commence until 1920.
Oh,
but I mean, when we came to Berwick,
yes,
there was, not many people went to the university right back in those days.
A tertiary education wasn't considered necessary, was it?
No, well, I mean, there were a few people that were needed as, doctors and solicitors. Very few, and most people had a good general education, and when the girls got married and got families, and the boys went working for garages or
farmers.
Yes.
Was there a primary school at Upper Beaconsfield then? And was there one at Beaconsfield?
Yes. And some of the children walked, miles. The Grants walked to the Berwick Primary School, and they lived behind where the Cardinia Hotel is.
Up where they had an orchard up there.
Yes, and they'd walk from there and back.
Up to Berwick.
And some of them were only little, the end of the little ones.
And was there a school at Harkaway too?
Yes.
And I presume one at Nowra Warren?
Yes, yes, yes. There were all those little schools about.
Well served for education, the district.
My father thought the children of Berwick were half asleep. He thought they were very nice children. He'd never taught such dull ones, including his daughter.
Why did he think they were dull? Were they?
He thought that the cool climate made them half asleep.
Perhaps they all had some chores to do before they came to school.
Some of them did, but some of them didn't. Perhaps the people, I think, were a little more affluent in Berwick. And up in the country, the children had to get up and work harder, and they were more lively and more active, and he got more scholarship children up there, and he got very few in Berwick.
Violet, I suppose you had to... where did your father get his wood for your fires? Because the only heating in the winter was fires, wasn't it?
Well, our neighbours up on the hill were carriers.
Are they the Forbes? Is that the Forbes?
Yes, yes. Mr. Forbes was very particular about his horses, but he could see that my dad understood horses and loved them, and he used to get Dad to take the lorry and two big draft horses. And
what do you mean by a lorry? A big dray?
A big lorry, a four-wheeled conveyance.
Just like an open flat car?
Yes, yes. And we used to think it was great fun. We'd go with Dad, and he always had a very sharp axe, which we weren't allowed to touch. And we'd take our lunch and go away up, almost to Upper Beaconsfield, and I don't think Dad chopped down any trees, but there were a lot of trees which had fallen during storms, and he used to get enough wood for both the families, the Forbes family and our family, to last for the winter.
On the big dray?
Yes.
And chop it all with an axe?
Oh, yes.
No
yes.
Saws those days?
Oh, no. He had cross-cut saws.
Yeah.
And sometimes we used to help him with a cross-cut saw, cut up wood for the winter.
Because you had to cook with a wood-fire stove.
Oh, yes.
And heating was by wood. And what was your lighting? What did you read?
Lamps.
What sort of lamps? What did you burn?
Kerosene.
And was that how you were too, Alice?
Yes.
Kerosene lamps?
And candles.
Yes. And where did you get your wood from? Or was that supplied to the school by the education department?
From a man called Mr. Haller.
And there's
in
a Haller Road in
Harkaway. Yeah.
Because sometimes we had to get extra wood from the woodmen from Harkaway to keep two fires going all winter in
yes.
the sitting room
yeah.
and the kitchen.
Yes. Mm. Well, the winters are very cold in Berwick. The same with you?
Yes.
And who chopped your wood? Did your father chop
it? My father did.
He didn't get any of the boys to do
Occasionally
it?
Occasionally he did. If some boys, little boys, forgot to ask their parents for a little bit of money to buy a school book or that, he would get them to go and chop a bit of wood and give them the sixpence or whatever to buy whatever.
All the books
you had to buy
were acquired at school. There was no shop or anywhere where you got your school books
yes,
from.
We could get school papers and school books from Mrs. Moore.
The shop that
Violet managed. Yes, and there was a monthly little school paper that was very good.
That you've got some copies of that paper?
I had them all from when I came to Berwick, and I gave them to Sue Price. I hope she's still got them, because
quite a valuable historical record.
I should have kept them, I suppose. Well, did you know about the library doing anything?
No.
That would have been good.
Or there's the Berwick and Pakenham, Berwick and District Historical Society, which has its museum down at Pakenham now. They love to get their hands on those sort
yes,
of things.
Must ask Sue what she's done with them. I hope she hasn't bent them. She's moved since.
Well, now, where did your aunt and your father have to go to Dandenong frequently for shopping?
No, we didn't, because we had no motor car, and our ponies were too old and slow. We never drove ourselves to Dandenong.
So you got all your needs
in
from the local areas.
Yes. And my cousin used to go to Melbourne quite frequently and buy extra things, and always brought home some fruit, because it was hard to get.
How many trains a day in those days?
Too early in the morning, one at about 7:15, one at 8 or something, and then one at midday. And then coming back from Melbourne, you could get one at 4:30 and one at 6:20.
And how did she get down to the station?
Walk.
And walked home?
Yes.
Carrying everything?
My father would always go and meet her and carry her parcels home. Yeah.
And did you walk everywhere in Berwick in those days? Did you go to Melbourne at all when you were a girl?
Oh, not very often. Perhaps about three times a year when Mother wanted to do extra shopping.
And you would walk to the station too?
Oh, yes, yes. We used to take all the shortcuts.
Across the paddocks?
Yes.
Open farmers' gates or through the fences?
Oh, no, no. No, we used to cut across to the highway.
Yeah.
And then go down what was called the Doctor's Lane.
Yes. And then down...
And then on to Gloucester Avenue, into the station.
Did you, either of you, see the Duke of Gloucester after... Didn't they name Gloucester Avenue after them? Did you see him, Violet?
Yes.
Were you one of the ones who was standing there waving a flag? Were you at school children then? What year was that?
1934. No, we weren't at school then.
Oh, yes. But did you go down to...
I went in a car but couldn't get out because it was raining steadily. Very muddy.
And did he just stood on the train?
Yes, and I believe he looked down and said, what's that? There's a big puddle. I always said, I'm not going to step into that. There was a gramophone in a tree that they played God Save the King there.
And so he just stood and saluted?
I suppose so, yeah.
And that was it?
Mm. Yeah, we were going to step into the mat. We couldn't.
What was the carriage? What did you call your carriage? Alice, you stayed home more because of your polio. Did people come to visit you a lot?
Yes. And when we came to Berwick, all the ladies had a day at home, a different day of each month. And people called, ladies called, and left card. And then you put the date of your day. My cousin chose the third Thursday of every month, occasionally forgot later on. And some people came after they'd gone, she said, it was my day at hand, I've forgotten.
What were the hours of that
they'd
people were to call?
Any time at about 3 o'clock until about 5 o'clock.
And you gave them a cup of tea?
A cup of tea, and before that, the day before you made cakes, we used to make a couple of different kinds of cakes, scones, little cakes, tarts, homemade biscuits.
A real feast.
Yes, and they'd stay till about 5 or 5:30 and we'd talk, gossip and talk, and it was very nice.
Violet, did you ever stay overnight with any of your friends in those days?
Yes. Yes.
What did you do as a girl? What were the? How did you amuse yourselves?
Our favourite relatives lived up in Gippsland in the Warrigal area, and we used to often go up and stay with them, stay with our cousins, and then they used to come down and stay with us at various times, holiday times, and we were very fond of our cousins, and we all had a happy time together.
Would you go riding with your friends?
Yes, yes, and I used to sometimes stay at the old home of the Richardsons.
Down on?
Between Clyde Road and Gloucester Avenue. The old home was there, and Rose was my friend, one of the younger girls, and I sometimes used to stay the night with Rose, especially if we were going to a concert or something like that, because it would be too far for me to go home.
Were you allowed out to walk the streets at night time as girls? Were you allowed to walk up to the hall for concerts by yourself? There was no danger of young people out by themselves at night?
There was no danger at all in those days, but there was always someone with us, Pam. We didn't go alone.
Well, you were young girls then, yes, weren't you?
Yes.
Where did you, did your mother make all your clothes, or?
Yes, she did.
You didn't. Where did you buy your material from?
Mother used to get material in Melbourne on various visits, and she always had very good patterns. She had several ladies' journals used to be sent to her, and they always had patterns in, or she could send for extra patterns if she wanted them.
The women had a very busy life in those days, didn't they? They had to work very hard. Everything had to be done at home.
Yes.
Did your aunt make your clothes?
Yes, she was a very good dressmaker.
And did she make anything for your father?
No.
No, he wouldn't allow shirts or anything like
no,
that.
No, well, I think she was so busy making her clothes and my clothes.
Yes, that was probably
time.
Probably.
The
and what did you do when you wanted a new hat? Where did you get that from?
Go to Melbourne, get a hat.
What were the shops you shopped at in Melbourne?
Myers and Buckley's and Gore and Welsh. That was a nice shop for
yes.
Cardigans and woolen things and wool, skeins of wool. And all the wool was in skeins, and you had to wind it up into a ball yourself.
Well, you did a lot of knitting, didn't you, when you left school?
Yes.
You had a knitting machine?
Not at first, all by hand. But
you've always been a very fine knitter, haven't you?
Yes, well, it was something I could do sitting down.
Yes.
By the hour.
Yeah.
And then later on, I did a lot of knitting for Myers, baby knitting.
Little baby's clothes.
Baby clothes, yes.
And did you knit for people round about the area?
I'm not a person, but mostly I like to do it in for the shops, and then I might do six or a dozen things of the same pattern. And one time I made a whole Grace, which was 144 baby singlets for Myers.
And how much did they pay you for that?
1 shilling and 1 penny each.
And I wonder what they sold them for. Did you ever
find? Twice that? No. Did two and 11 pence. I saw it once. 2 and 11 pence they were sold at.
How long did it take you to make a singlet?
I could make 2 singlets in 3 days.
That was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. But money went a long way, and you could buy a lot of things with sixpence in those days.
Bread, what could you buy?
Bread was tuppence halfpenny a loaf.
Milk?
Milk was fourpence halfpenny a quart. And
butter?
Butter was 1 shilling a pound.
Eggs?
1 shilling a dozen.
Meat?
Very nice chops. The best chops were 4 for 1 and 3 pence. Beautiful chops.
Tell me what you used to, what did you have for your main meal every day? What would you have, sort of, a week's menu? What would have been a week's menu?
Well, always for breakfast we had porridge. I was never allowed to eat porridge because it was fattening. I was fat. They thought it was fattening. So I had an egg and bacon and a piece of nice fried bread, which is far more fattening than we always had something like that for breakfast. Always porridge for me and Dad, and cooked things for me and them. Eggs or tomato and bacon and scrambled egg.
And what about the main meal of the day? Was that in the middle of the day?
Always we had in the middle of the day because my father was able to come from the school across in the middle of the day. A roast meal some days, or a stew, any vegetables we could get. Later on we used to grow some in the school plot, silver beet and cabbages.
You found fruit and vegetables hard to come by?
Very hard to get them combined, very, and when we first came.
And what would you have for your tea at night?
Well, it was something, not much, a bit of
cold meat maybe,
or cheese and macaroni cheese sometimes, or...
And Violet, would your menu have been somewhat similar? Did you have a midday meal too, always? Oh, well, you couldn't as a schoolgirl, because you wouldn't have missed, you would have had to have had something.
Oh, I think mainly we had a hot dinner at night.
Well, you would have had to when you were a school child.
At the weekends, Mother always had a race dinner in the middle of the day.
Mm. And did you take your lunch to school when you were a schoolgirl?
Oh, yes. Nice homemade bread. Sandwich fillings.
Mm. Homemade bread?
No, not always.
Did you have the butcher deliver to you? Did all the...
Yes.
The butcher delivered?
Yes.
Whenever you wanted him?
No, he used to come round certain days a week, twice a week, with a car, Mr. Richardson, and you went out onto the road and changed your meat. The cart was full of meat, meat cart, a proper meat cart.
And a hot day?
Yes.
A few flies about?
Yes, sir.
You don't remember that
I
now?
I know. They sometimes you bought the... chops, and there was a few little wriggly things which you scraped that off and washed it under the tap.
What about the milk delivered?
Yes.
And the bread delivered?
Yes, the baker came every day.
And no papers, newspapers?
Newspaper every day. The children used to pick up Dad's paper from paternosters and bring it along to the school.
And what about a radio? Did you have a radio? When did...
That didn't commence until about 1924 or 5.
When did lighting come to Berwick?
In 1927, the electricity came to Berwick.
The streets were lit then?
Before that, there were a few little acetylene lights in the street.
How did they work those?
A man rode around at dusk on a bike, on a horse, and with a long taper lit the thing.
What was it? What did it burn?
Acetylene?
Yes.
Sort of... It made a gas or something.
Oh, yes.
And then they used to clean it out and there would be a little lump of white chalky stuff under the lamp. It was whatever.
You wouldn't have had any light up near where you lived. There would have been no street lights up there. And you had electricity then came to...
Yes, and before that, 1924, the water came. Before that, we had no water in the schoolhouse, only tanks, and no water in the kitchen, no sink in the kitchen. We just had to carry a bucket of clean water and stand it by the stove with a dipper and use that. And by the back door we had another bucket where we threw the tea leaves and anything like that. And then that water was...
Thrown onto the garden?
Taken out onto the garden because it was very... precious. Every drop of water was precious.
How did your father, Mrs. Facey, water all his beautiful berries and vegetables?
Dad didn't believe in too much watering.
He cultivated.
He used to spoil the flavour of the fruit. And he used to do a lot of hoeing, keeping the surface hoed and soft. And he used to have very good results. He used to water little seedlings when he first planted them for a while to get them going. So we used to have to be very careful with water. We had large tanks, one down at the stables and a large one up at the house.
And did you ever run out of water?
No, we didn't run out, but I remember during drought time, Dad's friend who lived down near the creek had a very large dam, and Dad used to harness Prince to the sledge and take every available utensil we had, tubs and kerosene tins down, and bring back loads of water for the garden and for washing.
And where did you store it when you got it home? Just left it in the containers?
Just left it in the containers until they were empty.
And of course the creek water was very clear and nice
then. Yes, it was in those days. Mm.
So, Violet, could you tell me who were some of your neighbours in those days? Did Mrs. Cumming live down below you?
Oh, yes. They had a farm down below us, the Cummings.
In Elgin Street?
Yes, yes. And, of course, there were the two guest houses near us, up on the northern side. They were very nice people. And then, of course, the Carriers, the Forbes family, lived just a little bit further up on the hill.
And did Mr. Henry live?
No, he
must have come later.
Yes, he came later.
Did he build his house later too?
Yes. He lived near the quarry in the early days.
Yes.
The old Quarry Hills residence.
Any other neighbours? Can you remember? What was the name of the guest housekeeper in Mount Carmel?
Oh, I'm just trying to think. Miss Vales, she ran the guest house there.
And who ran the other one up on the corner?
Miss Boland.
Oh, that's right, you said that. Well, that was